The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Broadcasting from Northern California for two decades, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. It is Father's Day weekend. And, of course, we all have fathers of some sort. And anyway, we are financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays working with people like yourself to be your financial advisors on the air. And we come here on the weekends. What did I say? I'm half asleep still. We spend our time during the week being your financial advisors.
And then on the weekends.
On the air.
We're here for you.
Yeah. I guess I've been saying the same thing for 8 years. And
18 years. 20 years.
Well, I don't know if I've been saying that same exact
thing. Anyway, we're here for your questions. You got questions regarding your money? How do you save more? How do you invest it? Taxes, life insurance, my favorite. 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs.
Yeah, anything that has to do with financial stuff.
457s.
And we got a good program lined up.
We think so.
Well, that's the that really matters.
Well, no one ever gets in the air and goes, hey.
We're getting poor.
Not that good this week. Just not going to really turn it on.
Not a very good program lined up. The topics are really quite lousy.
Listen. No one says that.
Correct. Maybe we shouldn't even, you know what?
From now on.
You can determine.
You vote.
Just figure it out as it goes. Now I think about it. Like every week, I like watching 60 Minutes at the end of the
week.
I don't know why it's my favorite news program.
I've watched it since I was a little kid.
Me too, since I was a kid, like in diapers.
But I've been watching Vice on HBO.
All right, that's good.
Okay, so about 60 Minutes?
No, they always have the packages. They'll have them at the start. And, of course, I'm always watching to see what they're going to have. And it's always like they always try to make it sound pretty exciting.
They used to say, and more, at the very end of the thing.
That's because they had Weiner, Andy...
Andy Rooney.
Not Andy Rooney. The guy with the big eyebrows, whatever his name is.
Yeah, actually, I remember my kid saying to me, why is that man so angry?
He spoke at my college years ago. He was so negative.
Yeah, that's what my kids always said. Why is that man so angry?
I just remember hearing him thinking, my goodness, he would basically told all these college students how bad your life's going to be and so much worse than your parents. And
really?
Oh, my gosh. I left at the end.
Maybe because he was at Chico State and he might have been right.
This wasn't at Chico State, by the way.
Okay.
Anyway. So we got a good program.
We think so.
We think it is. It's Father's Day. We're going to be talking, of course, financial stuff. We might weave in a couple stories of things we've learned from our fathers in finance. Yeah. But just
like watch the nickels and dimes and the dollars will take care of themselves.
My father never told me that, ever.
My mother.
My dad said things like, Scott.
Tell me what your dad said. I can't.
You don't need to be rich. Just have rich friends.
That's what your dad would say. That sounds like something your dad would say.
And I had a friend in high school, their family had a humongous yacht down in Newport Beach, would take it over to Catalina Island and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it was really nice. I had my own, like, nice room and stuff.
Not, obviously not living in your neighborhood.
Not in the 900 square foot house next door. But my dad said, see, son, it's all working out for you. You don't need to be rich. Just have rich friends.
How old were you?
So,
would your dad come along?
No. I was in high school. You think I wanted my dad to hang out with me?
Whether you wanted your dad to show up or not, your dad normally just shows up.
That is kind of true. Anyway, so if you'd like to be part of the program today, you've got a question for us regarding something in your financial world. Our contact number, and it might be you're debating on making a change or wondering if you've got the right thing going right now, or oftentimes someone's recommending something to you and you'd like to have an independent opinion on that. To join the program, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. 888-2-HANSON or in the 916 area code 921-1530. Again, 916-921-1530. Love to take your calls and answer your questions regarding...
Especially since it's a call-in radio talk show. So
sometimes it's call-in, sometimes it's not, depending on what we feel like doing at the time.
We normally get to the calls. I like the calls. I got two choices, talk to someone I don't know or you.
All right, well, let's talk to Phyllis then. Phyllis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning.
Hi, Phyllis.
My question is, if I have about $50,000 to invest, how many different mutual funds should I in, or should I choose to divide it between?
Yeah, that's a good question, Phyllis, because there's not, sometimes people think you need all these different funds, whether it's $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million, you don't necessarily need to have 10 or 20 funds to have a good diversification.
Sometimes you can have one fund.
Yeah.
And it will get you there. But before we answer this question, have you ever invested before?
I have just a few $100, a $1,000 maybe.
And what is leading you to want to invest this $50,000?
In mutual funds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where did this come from? Where did this concept or idea come from?
The 0.3% CD rate.
Okay. And how old are you, Phyllis, ballpark? Because you're never supposed to ask a lady their age.
70.
So you've never felt the need for your 70 years on this earth. You've never felt the need to buy a mutual fund or stock or bond in any large degree before.
No.
Okay. And that's not atypical. So and there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. So don't feel that. So here's an interesting thing, Phyllis. You've probably been a CD investor most of your life, right?
Yes.
Okay, and rates have come lower and lower and lower, and now you're sitting there looking at it thinking, my goodness,
I can't do this anymore.
I got to do something else because this is ridiculous.
I can't live like this because I can't take my $50,000 and have it earn.
It's earning nothing, essentially.
Yes.
Almost
yeah.
Nothing.
And when the Federal Reserve began lowering rates years ago, they were lowering rates to try to spur on the economy, to get capital. Instead of having money just sitting in savings in safe places, they were trying to encourage this money saved, this capital, to go out and invest in areas that would grow the economy. That was kind of the idea behind it. And unfortunately, many retirees like yourself have been really the victim from this strategy because now, rates are so low. The Fed was not trying to get Phyllis at age 70 to take money out of the bank to invest elsewhere. It just so happens this was a
byproduct. Yeah. It was an unintended consequence where you have been punished, essentially, yeah, with the dollars saved by this fiscal meltdown and how the Federal Reserve is responding to it. So in saying all that, rather than answer your question about how many funds do you need or which ones, let's talk about whether you should do it at all. Let's talk about whether we should just leave that money in the bank and just say, that's the way it is. I'm not happy, but I'm going to keep my money in the bank.
Okay.
So are you relying upon the income this $50,000 generates?
I have Social Security and a small pension, so not really.
So if you invested this $50,000 and a year from now it was $47,000 or $46,000 after you invested it because of turmoil in the marketplace or the bonds or stocks or whatever, what would you do?
Wait it out. I have no reason to change the investment.
Okay, well, if that is truly the case, then I think it could make some sense to move. How much money do you have in banking and CDs and savings and money markets, that sort of thing?
Overall, not just this $50,000.
About another $50,000.
Okay, so you're talking about roughly taking half of your dollars and moving them outside of the bank. So a couple, which that, there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to keep a couple things in mind. First, it's going to fluctuate in value. You can invest $50,000 on Monday, and on Tuesday it can be worth $49,000. That's a reality. And there's a good probability 1 year in, it'll be less than what you started with. If you're saying to yourself, I'm going to let these dollars sit for at least 5 years, and I'm not going to worry about the ups and downs, then I think you can make a case for
why, Scott? I mean, but why? If she was my, she'd be a little young to be my mom, my mother. But if she was my mother,
you'd say don't bother.
I would say don't bother. What's the point? Why? Is this going to change your life in any way, shape, or form for the positive?
Unless the objective here was to try to invest it somewhere to generate monthly income. If you were to invest it somewhere and say, I'd like to generate some additional monthly income. There was a need for that, then would say maybe it makes some sense to look outside.
Is there a need for that, Phyllis?
Not at the present, no.
Yeah, you know, I could answer the question, but I don't think you should invest it
I don't see how it's going to make your life better.
I could only see the downside in it.
We're looking at each other. It's like, how will this make your life better?
And we make our living investing right. money for people's outside of bank CDs, outside of them. That's how I'm a fee-based investment advisor. People pay me and my firm to take their money and invest it in things other than bank CDs.
Phyllis, I know that you'd like to do something with this, but
I think we're just going to
recommend that you not. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. If you want to be part of the program, contact us at 888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON or 916-921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're here on this Father's Day weekend as we're talking about the financial markets and all those sort of things and having a great program as we promised we would.
No, yes, we think so anyway.
So I got to tell a quick story about fathers and finances here because most of us got some of our financial lessons. Although I really believe that many of us are born, we're wired a certain way. We're either wired savers or wired spenders. And this isn't based upon some big scientific study out of a huge grant to one of the named universities.
But I thought about
my 25 years of experience as being a financial advisor and having my own children and friends with lots of other kids and just seeing a lot of our own wiring with finances. And I think some of the biggest lessons that people learn are from their own mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely by mistakes.
And it's interesting. So I'll tell this quick story, and then I had a paper route in seventh and eighth grade, which I think was unfortunately it's different era today because they drive around and I don't even want to touch a newspaper anymore. I read all mine on my iPad. But
I read a physical newspaper yesterday. I was at a restaurant and they had a physical newspaper.
Okay, well, that's because they hand it to you. You don't buy them, right?
That's correct.
I just find it peculiar anymore. I'm like in Starbucks getting a coffee and they're just selling me newspapers. I'm like, you know, I do have them. And it's got their electronic device. Anyway, another story entirely. The newspaper route, I think, was a great place for a lot of kids to learn how to. It was almost like a little mini business. Back
it is
then.
A business. Because they charge you for the papers, and at the end of every month, you go out and collect, and you have to pay for the papers. And the difference between what you paid for them and what you collected is yours.
Yeah, unfortunately, they set the price, so I couldn't say, "What do you think the paper's worth to you?" And say, "I know for the most it's $4, but if it's worth $6."
When I had the paper route, we used to collect on. Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Eve. The tips were the largest.
Christmas Eve, hi, Pat. Redhead Pat, and I'm the one who delivers your newspapers. So here's my story.
Alms for the poor.
So here's how my dad helped me out in one of my early financial lessons. I had this paper out, and my friend Jerry Williams and I,
That is his real name. Sorry, Jerry, if you're still around.
Is he still around?
I don't know. This was in 1970
something. Does he still have his paper route?
He may. He's still delivering papers.
Jerry's 50.
He did love it. I mean, that guy loved it.
He loved his paper route.
The fold, the trifold.
Who doesn't love riding their bike around early in the morning?
Throwing that rubber band around. So I had this paper route, and my buddy Jerry and I, after
Jerry
school,
Williams.
Jerry Williams, yeah, from Torrance, California. So Jerry and I would go, and we would, after school, if we didn't have any money, we would say, oh, well, who do we need to still collect from this month?
Was the paper route in the morning or the afternoon?
It was weekend mornings and weekday afternoons. So yeah, it was perfect for a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect for a seventh grader. So
it's one of the best jobs you could get as a seventh grader. There were no better jobs.
One of the only jobs you could get as a seventh grader.
Your job was coveted by many seventh graders.
It was hard to get. I had to get stand in line for days. The union had to accept me, the whole thing.
Background check.
So we would go and collect the dollars during in the afternoon. Then we'd go to the Giant Grinder sandwich shop and get a Subway sandwich, Giant Grinder.
Who doesn't love a Giant Grinder?
The Giant Grinders are the best. And then go to the go-kart races, which they had, right, it was all within a short
bike ride
from
the house. They weren't really races. It was just a track. They called them races, Scott, but they
did have ice plant along the sides. You know, the kind of, and if you'd get one of the wheels on the ice plant, it's all watery and it'd help you spin out and stuff. And there was pretty loose on the rules back then, which was a seventh grader's dream. And so we'd go and collect and enjoy our afternoon. Well, I probably should have budgeted a little to figure out what was my expense going to be for the month for the newspapers.
You mean the cost of goods?
Yeah. I wasn't that clear on that at that point.
It wasn't, apparently. You didn't understand the cost of goods sold.
No, my father didn't sit me down and tell me, like, here's how it's going to work, son. I'm sure someone at the newspaper round.
They probably should have.
Whatever. In any case, I enjoyed spending my dollars, and so I suddenly found myself not having the money to pay my supplier, the newspaper supplier. And as a good seventh grader would do, what I chose to do is would hide behind the bushes.
So he would drop off the papers.
Here he comes. And Jerry and I would be hiding behind the bushes because we didn't have the money.
How long did you owe him the money for? Did you even try to make a partial payment? It was maybe for a week, right?
I mean, I was in seventh grade. I have grown a little since then, by the way, for the listeners. This is full disclosure.
And
this is,
by the way, Scott, it wasn't the first time that he had someone...
And I'm now a founder of a multi-billion-dollar investment advisory firm. But they some of these lessons. So what happened one day, it's maybe a week later after hiding in the bushes, is I come home and I see the car of the newspaper supplier in my driveway.
Wow, there's nothing scarier.
And I get to the house and I peer through the window and there he's sitting at the kitchen table with my father. My father had to write a check.
Yeah, they're smoking a cigarette because it's 1970.
They weren't smoking cigarettes.
It was 1970.
He did a high. They had, were sharing highballs.
They were all highballs.
Whatever highball is.
Whatever that is.
Highballs and cigarettes. No, they didn't do that. But anyway, so my dad bailed me out and then set me up on some sort of a payment plan with him.
Oh, and did it work? Oh, obviously, you're here. What?
I am still making payments to that newspaper man. So, no, it's...
Well, that's a good lesson.
It was a great lesson. So, I mean, it was an interesting... My father bailed me out, and then we did have a little conversation about setting aside money for your expenses. I don't think he called it cost of goods. He was a pharmacist and not a business guy.
The cogs never came up?
He probably never... That probably has never left his mouth. But... We certainly discussed about making sure you can pay your expenses before you go spend things on
giant grinders,
and it's the thing as a father with kids now, I still have the same kind of discussions that you can't spend all your money throughout the month on frivolous things if you've got other expenses like gasoline and all this.
I have four kids, and every one of them treats money differently.
Of course, they
significantly.
Do.
I mean, completely different. One, you couldn't rent it away from him, and then the other one was like, "Wow, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, they all different."
Yeah. So anyway, so it's Father's Day weekend. That's why we're talking.
We shared a A lovely story from Scott Hansen about the only financial thing his father ever taught him. What else did he teach you, Scott?
I didn't say it was the only financial thing he ever taught me.
My dad actually was pretty good with it. When I was, when I had a little cactus stand when I was in junior high school at a swap meet, and my dad was...
Yeah, he used to sell cacti.
Yeah.
Cacti, is that the right plural?
Yeah, in the 7th and 8th grade, I had a cactus stand. Actually, it was Roseville, Denio's Roseville Auction.
And that's where you'd go and sell the cacti. Yeah. And didn't your dad take a cut of the profits or something, too?
No. So, yeah, growing up, the rule was that my dad would take 15% of your income.
Go for it. Contribute to the household expenses.
Yeah. And I actually don't know where the 15%. Why wasn't it 20% or 10%?
If you like watch the neighbor's dog for the weekend,
he would try. He absolutely would try. In fact, I got a job as a busboy. And the first, I remember the first time I came home, I was, how old was I? 16. So I had a job as a busboy in the steakhouse. And the first day I came home from work that night, he said to me, "Do you make a lot of money in tips?" And I said to him, "I'll never tell you." So, the government doesn't see it, and neither do you.
How old are you at this age?
16.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way for a 16-year-old to talk to his father. Yeah, anyway.
Oh,
and
good.
Of course, now when you father yourself, it's all coming full circle, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. And I deserve every bit of it.
So, hey, this week I saw something that just reminded me that most people, many investors are being charged more than they need to be and aren't even aware of it. And what I'm talking about here are share classes of mutual funds.
Oh, yes.
So, and without, there's some of you that know exactly what we're talking about. Majority are like, oh, what in the world?
We don't know. And then you're thinking,
how boring is this going
to
get?
Why are they talking about this? I saw it this week, too. Actually, a person came up to me and said, what does this A after these mutual funds mean?
So there are different ways you can compensate for an individual or a company helping you with allocating your mutual funds or picking the right kind of mutual funds. Okay, and the old traditional way used to be someone would receive a sales commission up front, a sales load, and many have heard the loaded mutual funds.
And that doesn't take place much anymore, does it?
Well, I think it still does, actually, but not as much as it used to. So a Class A share mutual fund, you'd see Acme Mutual Funds, for example, that have Class A shares, would have an upfront sales charge. So if some broker recommended you this mutual fund, this broker would receive, typically it's about 5% commission up front, and that 5%, of course, would come out of your account balance.
So you give them $100,000, and $95,000 actually would go into the account, and $5,000 would actually go to that advisor.
And then,
which is pretty rich.
Then it start, and then it changed a little where they would have a B share, which would, you wouldn't pay anything up front, but they'd charge extra money each year, and they'd lock your money up for a number of years.
5 years, 7 years.
Then they came out with a Class C share mutual fund that essentially just leveled typically a 1% charge that they pay to the advisor or broker on an annual basis. But as things have changed, and many investors now prefer a fee-based investment advisor, meaning a relationship where instead of paying a commission, they've got flexibility with their investments, and the advisor charges an annual fee to manage the dollars or a quarterly fee to manage the dollars, and there's no extra charges inside the mutual fund.
It's all transparent.
And so a lot of these old fund families that have been around a long time, they change with the times, and they want to make sure that investors still come to their mutual fund. So they would come out with what's called institutional class shares. And so, for example, a client of Hansen McLean, that we have relationships with Fidelity and Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade. And if we had a client who had an account with us, we would have it housed at one of those locations. And if we were going to buy Acme Mutual Fund, for example, from a client that had an A share or a B share, we wouldn't use that. We would use their institutional class.
Because it's the least expensive for the client.
Yes, and the client is coming through us, an intermediary.
And so they're getting better pricing on an institutional
level.
We
would get the lowest cost fund available for that client, the lowest cost. What we've seen out there are some advisors will use the old Class A shares waive the typical sales load, but there's still a higher cost there, and there's still additional revenues that go and pay the advisor or the advisor's parent company. Class A shares.
Yeah. There's no reason for this. Well, there is a reason, but there's no reason for the client. There's a reason for the person recommending the Class A's.
It's because it's higher. They get higher fees that way.
Yeah, but you would think under a fiduciary standard that that would be against the rules, wouldn't you?
I'm just saying, you're seeing it. So here's the thing to look at. If you've got an advisory relationship with someone who's charging you a quarterly fee to manage the assets, just look at your statement and say, look, are there any A-share mutual funds? And if so, go to your advisor and say, hey, why do we have this? Why can't we have an institutional class with lower fees? It'll make a big difference, though, long term. You might be paying tremendously more than you need to be. We're up against the clock. Got to take a quick break. To join us, if you got a question for us, we have some lines open today. 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON, or 916-921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters on this Father's Day weekend. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Glad you are with us on this.
My kids are taking me out for breakfast tomorrow.
For Father's Day?
Mm-hmm. That's what my wife said. She said, do you have anything planned? I said, no. I said, should I plan anything? And she said, no, the kids have planned something for you.
Oh. And where are they taking you for breakfast, you know?
I'm not quite certain.
A brunch at Sunnyside Resort tomorrow morning.
Really?
Very nice of my family to arrange that one.
And who's paying?
I think that would be me.
Mm, yeah. So in my family...
That would be me.
We have what we refer to as the gross family product. So we have in the national economy, you have the gross domestic product. And in my family, we have the gross family product. And I have had a discussion with my children of the lack of inputs.
We had this discussion on the air last weekend, I believe.
Did we really?
Yes. You would like to go over it again?
Yes. Because I'm spending time thinking about it.
The lack of inputs.
All right.
Well, it's a Father's Day. You're supposed to...
To do what? Oh, I'm supposed to honor my father.
You're supposed to be the best father you can be on Father's Day and do all those fatherly things, like work.
I am the best.
Discipline the children. Be honoring to your wife.
That's mine?
Mow the lawn, all those things fathers do. Isn't that what Father's Day is about?
That's all it's about, actually.
All right, this is a financial show. Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
If you'd like to join the show, 916-921-1530. That's 921-1530, or you can call 888-2-HANSON. That's HANSON.
Yeah, 888-2-HANSON.
888-2-HANSON.
There's so many. It used to be 800, then it was 888-877-866-855.
A bunch of them.
It's amazing. There's that many toll-free numbers out there. So real quick, there's a gentleman, Roger, from one of our KGO listeners, has a question trying to figure out... I didn't want to be on the air, but he's really would like to help us. And it was actually a decent question he had submitted to us. 71 years old guy, no family. He's got a brother that's still alive. Other than that, no family. He has...
paraphrasing, because this was a long question.
I can read the whole thing, because
it's only an hour show.
Radio reading the whole time. Doesn't not exactly the most interesting. But his overall net worth is about $1.5 million, and he's got a will that lists everything out, and he's got all of his accounts set up on a payable on death, paid on death.
What they call POD.
Or sometimes TOD, transfer on death. And you can set up accounts at the bank this way with brokerage fund.
And your mutual funds. And on IRAs, you would just list the beneficiary or life insurance policies. Anything that has a beneficiary, you would actually just list the person or persons you want the money to go to.
Yeah.
But other accounts, bank accounts, brokerage accounts, you can actually, your name will go up there, and then it will say, depending upon the institution, POD, and then the person's name you want it to go to, or TOD. And that way, it actually happens automatically.
There's no probate.
There's no probate.
Yeah, and the only time there could be an issue is if the estate was larger than $5.4 million with an estate tax.
It's actually...
Matter of fact, if your assets are worth larger than 5.4, we would highly recommend not using a transfer in death and having some proper estate planning done to try to minimize
your
taxes.
If your assets are significant at all, that might make sense. So,
anyway,
his question is...
Roger's got five IRAs, three CDs, three stock and bond funds, two money market accounts, and three checking accounts.
Which I would, first of all, say, why, Roger, did you make it so complicated?
Yes. So the question he had us, is there anything he's missing? And we see a couple things here. If you're a single individual, 71-year-old, single individual, no family, to, really, wants to avoid setting up a living trust and wants to have everything transfer simply upon his death to whoever he's got listed as beneficiaries.
Assume it's his brother.
He's got one brother. So our only thing was there's really no need to have that many different types of accounts. You can have one IRA and own all those five investments in that one IRA.
Yeah.
If you love this one particular stock and this one fund and whatever it is.
You don't have to have it at five different institutions.
And usually when you hit age 70, most people actually at retirement time will consolidate their IRAs. And you don't need tons of different IRAs. And particularly when you hit age 70, you require minimum distributions. So if you're trying to make things simpler for your heirs, we recommend fewer accounts. If you can get down to, you got one bank, one brokerage account, one IRA.
And even if you're above the $250,000 limit at a bank, many banks have what's called a CDARS program where you can actually buy CDs at different banks in order through that one institution.
Yeah. And the other thing is if there's a home involved, homes don't transfer. You can't list them as payable death unless you have a set up a joint rent, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. But
so the answer to this question, Roger, is yes, it's okay the way you have it set up now. But if you own a home, I would go ahead and actually get a living trust.
Yeah. So let's take calls here. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the show. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSEN or 916-921-1530. We're talking with Aaron. Aaron, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, I started listening to your guys' show not too long ago, and I find it pretty helpful on trying to get more education.
Oh, good. Thanks. We appreciate that.
Yeah, investing for the future. I feel like I'm lacking on that knowledge. So I was curious if you could point me in the direction on how to get more education, but then I had a couple other things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to address that first.
Yeah, what is it you're trying to comp? What are some of the immediate needs you're dealing with right now?
Well, I'm only 37, and I have, you know, like $50,000 in an IRA. And I probably put $20,000 to $40,000 a year in that.
How much?
Like $20,000 to $40,000.
In the IRA?
What? Yeah.
Okay, so let's pull back for a minute. The IRA, are you confusing an IRA with a 401k that's offered through your employer?
Well, I'm an electrician, and it basically comes out of a fringe benefits amount that I get paid.
So you're a union, you're a union electrician?
No, it's non-union, but I do prevailing wage work. So
okay, there you go. All right.
And so,
yeah, it's based on the union scale.
So these dollars are going into a pension plan, and are you contributing these dollars, or are these dollars that are being contributed based upon the hours that you work?
It's based on the hours I work, so there's no matching going on there. It's
okay.
My money, but
Got it.
They'll put in like $6 or $7 an hour for you, correct?
It's closer to like 12 plus, depending on what county I work in.
Wow. That is, so you are putting in. So at 12 plus an hour.
By the way, some young folks that may be listening that think their parents keep saying they have to go to four-year college, that's not the thing for them. I'm sure Aaron makes a great living doing what he's obviously good at what he does. And there's a lot of great trades out there. You can still make
a great living. So yes, the reason we dove into that, which is because the numbers you threw out are above the limits. So essentially, if you're working full time, there's 2,080 work hours in a year at $12 an hour. You're putting approximately $25,000 a year away towards your retirement. Okay, so what your question is?
Well, seems like, you know, the other thing that happens is I chase the workaround. So if a company gets slow, I get laid off, and I immediately go to another company and start making the same wage. But now that money is why from that company I take it and roll it into an IRA that I've had.
Got it.
They're charging me like $160 a month, I think, to manage that. It just seems high.
And are they actively managing it? Are they making changes to the portfolio or what's?
Yeah. Yeah, it's principal.com. The principal, I don't know if you've heard of them.
So, and how much money do you have in the account?
I've taken money out in the past, so I only have $50,000 right now.
And they're charging you how much a month?
I got to double check it, but I want to say it's $160 a month.
Okay, so it's
that's about two grand a year for a $50,000.
It's a 4%. That's too much.
Yeah.
That's way too much.
I would think you should be somewhere at a smaller account, probably about 1.5% on the high end.
So it should be running you about $750 a year to manage this account, or approximately $65 a month.
For
you're paying
management.
Too much. You're paying too much, flat out.
Okay.
And you might just be fine going to a no-load fund complex and using a target date fund.
So the problem that you'll have is with a $50,000 account, it's hard to get good financial advice because it's a low amount. So I would agree with Scott. A target date fund would be appropriate.
And Aaron, as far as place to learn some more, I've got a book called it's called Money Matters. Send our office an email and just say that we had this phone conversation, and we're going to send you a copy of that book for no charge. And you'll find the book's broken down to lots of different segments. You can kind of just find a couple of areas and
go to our website, moneymatters.com. You could send an email through that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer some of your questions through that. So we're taking a quick break. We still have lines open. Going to be taking calls. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that picks from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Pat, did you write that little liner?
I haven't heard that for years. We used that liner years ago. Two guys, two brains, one head of hair. Although, I got to tell you, I was with my brother. I have a brother that's 3 years older than me. I think he's 55 now.
You've got like four brothers, don't you?
I have three brothers, but this was my oldest brother, and I was having dinner with him last Saturday, and I'm thinking, man, that guy is actually losing his hair and getting a little gray. He's 55. So I went home.
You're thinking this is what you're thinking about your brothers. You're having
dinner.
A meal with your brother.
Oh, yeah, I'm very critical of my family. So I'm thinking, man, you are...
Is that being critical?
Realistic. So I didn't say anything out loud because I've been raised better, but I was waiting to...
It's your brother.
I was waiting to share it with everyone that I don't know on the radio. So I got home that night, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm doing the thing that, like...
Do not tell me you're losing your hair, Pat.
Like old guys do?
Do not tell me you're losing your hair.
I'm losing my hair.
You're not losing your hair.
Look at my forehead. It's receding.
Are you kidding me? You expect me to have some sympathy
for
you.
Well, actually, you've been bald since you were like 8.
I mean, my forehead never ends. So.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dinner conversation, my dinner guest last night called me tiny.
No, he didn't.
She, my daughter's friend. Well, you're tiny.
How this? And was she a big lady?
No, I'm tiny. I've been called a lot of things. A little
guy.
Well,
this is a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah.
She called you tiny.
You're tiny. You know, I'm a short guy, compact. I like to think.
But she called you tiny. That's hilarious.
That's what I thought.
Did you just stare at her?
I did actually. I thought I like it. She's a nice kid, and she's I'm glad she feels comfortable with the family, that she can state what's on her mind.
Obviously.
Jessica's dad's tiny. So I got that going for me. Anyway, this is a finance program. We're going to get right back to it. 888-2 Hanson to be part of the program. Let's talk to Jim in Folsom. Jim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Jim.
I like your show and always wanted to call in and had an opportunity this morning. So. My question is, I have a daughter who's getting ready to go off to Sonoma State University.
Oh, good.
My wife and I are both gainfully employed. We both have 401ks, 457s. I'm part of the CalPERS system.
Okay.
We've been actively funding retirement accounts. But we unfortunately didn't take advantage. We took advantage of 529, but we didn't increase our contributions as they were increasing the school tuition. So we're finding ourselves a short. So,
and how much money do you have in the 529 plans?
We have about $26,000, which is pretty much about good enough for 1 year if she has a residence.
Right. And how many children do you have?
Fortunately, I only have the one.
Okay. All right. So your question for us is... Well.
And both you and your wife, you'll both have pensions?
We both have... yes, I have. I'm part of CalPERS. She has a pension through her work, and then we both have 457, 451 that are funded as well.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So my question is, you know, do we, I mean, would it, what's the best way? We're going to take advantage of the FAFSA loan. So there's unsubsidized loans, or subsidized loans that we can take that are basically interest-free. We're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Use money for the 4 years and then pay it off at the end, hopefully. But should we decrease the funding of our 401ks right now and use that money?
What percentage of your salary is going to be made up through your pensions at retirement? Ballpark, do you know?
If I make it all the way to retirement age, probably about 75 to 80% of our total salary. Not, and that doesn't include Social Security. That's just
and what percentage of your pay are you putting into your 401ks or 457s?
About 7.5 to 8%, both of us.
And how much do you have saved for retirement in those employer-sponsored plans, ballpark, between the two of you?
Ballpark between the two of us, about 320, something like that, 320,000.
And how old are you?
I turn 50 next month.
Fund it out of pocket. Fund the college education out of pocket. Lower the contributions to your 401ks and 457s, and don't worry about it.
You know, it's funny, I wouldn't say this to a lot of people.
You're fine.
If you didn't have pensions... then would have concern.
Yeah, but you do, and it makes up 80%. And right now, you're putting 7.5% in, which means that you're actually living on 92% of your income. And you've got a substantial amount of money saved in your 401ks, and you're 50, and you only have one child. So
you're making it sound very rosy.
No, it's not a hard decision. So lower your contributions to your 457, 401ks, or 403bs, whatever they may be, and pay for that out of pay for the funding of the education out of pocket.
And I would, if you take out those subsidized loans,
and that's what I'm questioning whether you should do it at all.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I would do it at all.
Our concern is suddenly they become due and you don't have the cash set aside somewhere. And then you got to find a way to pay it off.
Yeah.
We're pretty good savers, and whenever I get an opportunity, I love to use that money, especially if it's interest-free. I don't like paying interest unless it's a mortgage or maybe a car payment. So I'm a pretty good saver. If I'm going to borrow money, I will fund that.
I don't know.
But where are you going to fund it?
Yeah, you're going to take the money out of your...
You're going to put it in a savings account and earn 0.5%.
I
would try to stay away from any loans.
If it were a few years ago and you could get a 3% or 4% at the bank, I'd say brilliant. This is exactly what you should be doing. But right now you're going to earn nothing on your savings, and you're not going to want to take these dollars and put them at risk when you've got a loan coming due as soon as she graduates from college in 3.5 years, that she's going to get out in 3.5 years, right?
And
that's optimistic.
What, 4 years, 4.5 years, 5 years, whatever the number is.
Yeah, we're hoping for.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
And they hope they're going to get a job when they graduate, and you do too.
Exactly.
I think I'd stay away from the loans.
I think I would too.
I would just fund it out of pocket and obviously watch expenses. And you know, Sonoma State, beautiful out there in Santa Rosa. Gorgeous, gorgeous place.
Yeah, we're looking forward to visiting here and having a little wine country.
It's beautiful place. All right. Thank you for the call.
Congrats, your daughter's heading to Sonoma State and all that kind of stuff. It is a nice area over there.
It is. It is.
Out loud. Every time I go,
I have a lot of clients there. I actually stay in Santa Rosa a couple times a year. I have clients
every time I'm over that
all
area.
Over
I'm,
the
I
Santa
think,
Rosa.
Why don't I live in this part of the country? Beautiful. Maybe because all my family and friends are in El Dorado Hills. It is nice over there.
It's not. Oh, yeah. Most places in California are pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk to Sahil. Sahil, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi there. Good morning. I was just listening to your show, and I decided to give a call in. I am at a point in my life where I'm 37 years old, and I work as a dentist, and I basically have been paying off a lot of my debts, and I'm at that threshold where I'm trying to figure out what will be some smart investment strategies for the future. Most of my money is basically in my savings, and you know, I have a Roth IRA. I thought that would make more sense since I could pay, you know, taxes now, and when I take the money out, I won't have to pay taxes. Most cases, the tax rate years from now is probably going to be higher. And except for that, you know, I really don't have any other investments. And at this point, I'm thinking whether I should invest and pick up maybe some rental property or try and just kind of keep paying the debts I have on my school loans and things like that.
Well,
I'm going to give you guys a call and see.
Yeah, the investment you do have is the many years you took to become a dentist, quite frankly.
Great investment.
Yeah, and what we often tell people is, look, your best investment is in your own career, whether that's you're in business, it's having a business, or your profession like dentistry. It is in your career. If you look at the, for example, pick up Forbes 400 list or whatever the list of the wealthiest people, very few of those people made money just off investments. Almost all of them, unless they were lucky enough to inherit it, it was through their profession. Right. And it's the same thing with other folks as well. It's through your profession. So when you say you don't have much saved, I'd say, yeah, you actually do. It just happens
to
be in your
life. So I think that what you should look at, how old are you?
37.
No, I'm 37.
I think you should buy do you have a disability policy?
I do. I do. I have a disability policy, and I do have an insurance, a death insurance or life insurance policy also that pays out to my parents.
And how many employees do you have?
We have about 37 employees. I'm one of, you know, four partners. I own my own business. I'm one of the actual owners of the business. We all are 25% shareholders in our business.
And do you have a 401k at your company?
We do. We have a 401k that is actually distributed through John Hancock, and we offer that for our employees as well.
And you don't contribute to it?
I do contribute the max each year.
Oh, you do?
Okay,
perfect. You didn't say
perfect,
that.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I have been for the last couple of years. So I have that as a investment there, or a retirement strategy there. And then, you know, what I'm not doing is, you know, whatever I'm saving, I just kind of keep it in a savings account. And I've been thinking about possibly investing that in something. And I wasn't too sure. I know my parents in the past have done things with the Vanguard Fund and, You know, I didn't know if I should go the route of investing it into some sort of a stock portfolio, investing it in real estate, you know, because all of this is fairly new for me. So,
well, so you, the thing you've got going for you, you've got a long time ahead of you to let investments work for you. You mentioned one thing. You mentioned some rentals. If you were my brother, I'd say don't bother with that. Focus on your career. That's just going to suck time off and energy. Your time and energy, if you're going to put on some sort of investment, have it in your in what you're good at. That would be my opinion on that. And I'd, saving some on the outside, I would just look at like a total stock market index fund. You're 37. You've got 25 years or whatever to let it grow.
Tons of time.
And then that's passive. You don't have to.
And I would make a contribution to a non-qualified IRA and then convert it to a Roth if you don't qualify for a Roth contribution.
He said he contributed to Roth.
I do. I do. I have a Roth because I figured that I could, you know, I pay the tax now, and when I get the money out, I don't have to pay tax.
And I agree with Scott. I would
so
use
if you're
a
maximizing
total market.
Your 401k, I would look at a total stock market. I own one. They're very tax efficient, and the tax treatment's, I think, is quite favorable at the way capital gains tax works long term. So that's the route I'd look at for the next step. And it sounds like you got your ducks in a row, and you've got some disability insurance, and you got some life insurance.
And I think you should actually seek out a good investment advisor because over the long term, you're going to be a wealthy man.
Yeah. Well, this music means that we are out of time. We are here every weekend, Saturdays from 10 to 11 on KFBK Sacramento and Saturdays from 4 to 5 on KGO the Bay Area. We will see you next week. This has been Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Visit our website as well, moneymatters.com. Enjoy your Father's Day.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Scott Hanson and Pat McClain, hosts of Hanson McClain's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McClain Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McClain is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McClain Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McClain is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McClain Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McClain Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McClain Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at hansonmcclain.com.